All right, we are on, sir.
All right, yeah, man. Dude, did you see that James Gunn Superman picture that he dropped today?
I actually did see that picture.
Okay, so that kind of gave me, I'm excited now. Okay, that was.
I think we're talking about the, I forget your boy's name, but where he's just kind of like suiting up.
Yeah, he's like putting his, other boot on or whatever.
Yeah.
He's kind of sitting down. There's like this cosmic beam in the background or whatever. It's just like.
Yeah, he's running a little late. That's all I'm saying. Because that was, something bad was already happening.
He was probably smashing. I get it. And not bad guys. Okay. If you know what I mean. And was like, okay, I definitely got to go now. So.
Definitely. There's definitely something being destroyed right now.
Yeah. Okay. So good, we got to make that happen, man. How are we doing, brother?
Doing pretty fantastic, man. How about yourself?
Doing quite well, man. Real quick, I do want to talk about a movie that I did watch.
Okay.
Did you happen to catch Unfrosted?
No. I don't really remember what that is.
It's the Pop-Tart movie, post and Kellogg.
Oh, yeah.
Written, directed, and starring Jerry Seinfeld with like a whole host of everybody else and their mom. Isn't that movie?
I completely forgot that was the name of that movie, but no, I didn't catch it.
You ready for this? This is going to really tickle your fancy here.
Let's go.
97 minutes.
Perfect.
Right?
The most perfect number you can.
It's just like, obviously, just like, bro, you in and out, bro.
Yeah.
30.
How was it? Good time?
30 minutes is the first act. 30 minutes is the second act. 30 minutes is the third act. And you got seven minutes worth of trailer, credits, and B-roll stuff and gags. And you're out of there, man.
Beautiful.
Perfect movie for you. Dude, that movie was effing awesome. Like, if you're a fan of Jerry Seinfeld's comedy, but also all these other comedians and actors that are in it, it's basically just a bunch of comedians.
Was that a theater? I can't remember. Was that a theater drop or streaming?
I'm going to make this even tastier for you, okay? You ready for this?
Oh, my gosh.
Redbox. I'm joking. It's on Netflix.
I didn't even think that was a thing still.
I haven't seen a red box. It's just like, aren't those where they store the old, they got the telephone booths and the red box machines right next to each other now, right? So, and that storage facility somewhere.
Yeah. Wow.
When the aliens come down, they're going to look at the phone booth and the red box machine and be like, all right. This is why we had to kill them all right here. This is why.
So we got to wipe it clean. Yeah.
We got to wipe them clean. Start anew.
Oh, no.
Or they're going to come down, go to that storage facility, see that we had phone booths and red box machines and be like, yeah, there's no point of taking over this planet. They're just stupid. They're just stupid. Let's just go. Let's just go. So they might pack up and go. Yeah, man. It was a dope flick, man. Highly recommend. Really, like, laugh my ass off the entire time. It was a quick Saturday watch. Highly recommend, man.
I watched a TLC flick on Netflix.
You watched T-Boz, Left Eye, and Chili?
Yeah. It was like a documentary about their.
Oh, okay. I thought like deal. TLC. Yeah. Tender Love and Care was what you like. I didn't know if it was like a rom-com that you were watching or something.
I mean, you know.
He posted up with your dog. I don't know how these things work.
I caught that. I think that's really all I caught new over the weekend.
Watch any Supernatural?
Of course. That's always playing.
I was about to say, don't you lie to us. We know.
I'm back around to like season 13 again. So that's been rolling pretty hard through, and then I was just watching Clone Wars Me and wife started watching the first episode of Clone Wars today.
Nice. Nice,
pretty
man.
Awesome. Very excited for her to watch that.
I'm really loving the Samuel L. Jackson memes about, like, him being a douchebag to Anakin and then, like, dying.
Wondering why all that happened. Yeah, yeah.
There's been so many memes about, like, dude, if you just let this dude on the council, you wouldn't have had these problems.
That's it. That's all you gotta do. That's it,
bro. But you wanted to be Samuel Jackson, so.
He literally got all the responsibility, none of the promotions, none of the money. No sort of salary adjustments for him.
Nope. You do all the work. Yes. Do we need you to fly to this distant planet and kill this person? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Will we pay you anymore? No, we will not. Your salary will not increase.
Nope, not at all.
You're doing the work of 7 Jedi Masters right now, getting paid as a Jedi one. That's what the salary breakdown is.
Give you a Padawan, everything, and still nothing. That's it,
man. Well, dude,
even give you a seat next to us and nothing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll let you in the chamber, hang out, drink. Yeah. You'll know all the secrets of the Jedi, but we're not going to put your name on the manifest as one of the Jedi Masters. We're just not going to do it, bro.
Not in the budget this year.
Yeah, we'll try again next year. And Yoda's over there like, we will not. Welcome to an episode of Movie in a Pod. I am Clyde Smith.
And I am Javier Villalobos.
On this episode, we're discussing trailers for Mufasa, The Lion King, A Quiet Place Day 1, Episode 8 of X-Men 97, and our movie of the week, The Fall Guy. Oh yeah, Ryan Gosling, ladies and gentlemen. All right, team. Are you guys on social media? If so, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, the Tiki-Taki, all that good stuff, guys. We do have some socials. Check it out. You want to see the live reactions to this whole pod, or if you want to see live reactions to our trailers, definitely check out all that sexiness that he's putting in a score. He's doing.
Can't see what I'm pointing at on audio,
he's
but that's fine.
Doing the Madonna Vogue thing right now. Bringing sexy back right there. So, guys, click that link tree in the show notes. Like, share, subscribe. Appreciate you guys and gals. All right. We have Mufasa, the Lion King. According to IMDb, Simba, having become king of the Pride Lands, is determined for his cub to follow in his paw prints. Aw, that is so cute. While the origins of his late father Mufasa are explored. You know what this seems like, man? So we got like The Godfather.
Yeah.
This seems like The Godfather Part 2. Is what okay. It absolute like from that synopsis, that's what it seems like. If you like, I don't know, from The Godfather was a story of like, obviously, everybody has seen it, but like Michael coming in, we got Vito dies, and Michael kind of takes over the family business, becomes the Godfather. Godfather Part 2 was Michael is continuing the story as the current Godfather, but we're going back in time to relive how Mufasa or Vito at that time kind of came to be. This is the exact same kind of vibe that I'm getting from this man. And you know what? I love The Lion King. I love The Godfather. I love The Godfather Part 2. If this is in that same vein, just with right, lions,
for you. Yeah.
I'm there.
Perfect. Just with lions and hippos and alligators and stuff. I got you.
Give me your thoughts, brother.
Yeah, that was well explained, my man. But same, you know, fan of The Lion King. So seeing, you know, our technology being used in these ways to kind of make you know, not rebooting. At least we're not a reboot. We're continuing the story, but we're going to see it in a whole new light, which is very exciting.
Yeah, man. I think what I really think what Jon Favreau did with The Jungle Book and then The Lion King, and now we're going forward with Barry Jenkins using that technology. Remember, The Lion King was what 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now we, maybe even more. Now we have this newer, fresh technology, man. This movie's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be beautiful. And obviously, you know, love the cast here.
Yeah.
Aaron Pierce voicing a young Mufasa. We got Seth Rogen, Billy Eichner coming back, John Connie, Mads Mikkelsen as Kiro. Still don't know what the hell that is, but whatever. Danny Newton, Keith David, Blue Ivy Carter, Donald Glover's coming back, Beyonce coming back, just a whole host of people. This is going to be dope, man. This is really going to be dope. Really excited for this one. Guys, we're going to throw Mufasa, The Lion King, on our socials. Let us know your thoughts here. And who's your favorite character from The Lion King movies, guys? Animated or live action, digital, whatever you want to call it. Let us know your thoughts. All right, team. A Quiet Place, day one. According to IMDb here, it says, experience the day the world went quiet. I'm good, actually. I don't want to live this day. I'm good.
I've already lived the aftermath. That was pretty. That was enough.
Yeah, that was already bone chilling. I don't want to actually in New York too. Like they would. Like the first movie was they were out there in the country after the world kind of ended, and they were just trying to make it. The second one was dad was dead. And then the family is trying to make it, and the mom is pregnant and everything. And they were still just kind of out there. This one is day one, dead center in New York. I'm telling you, man, I don't know about you, Javi. I don't know how to be quiet. You've known me for so damn long. I'm not making it, bro.
We have to make you one of those boxes like they had for the baby.
Exactly. Not survive without that box. I'm not surviving.
Because
the first thing I'm gonna say is oh shit, like that, and that's it, and I'll be done after. I'll be cooked.
A lot of words gonna come out that aren't appropriate.
And then if like somebody tries to like put their hand over my mouth and like shush me, I'm throwing hands. So like,
why are you touching me right now?
Disgusting ass hands on me, man. What's wrong with you, right? I wouldn't make it past hour one in this movie.
Yeah, I was a fan of the first one. Like the first one, you're kind of like, you know, this is kind of weird, kind of wondering what happened, right? Like we just jump into this story all of a sudden. Then you get to the second one, and now they're going to this one, and you're like, I really don't. Still a little curious, but, you know, I don't need to be in the middle of the city to figure out what's going on at this point.
Yeah.
But very different from the other ones. I mean, the first one wasn't very, very high action. It was just more of more scary, you know, more horror kind of feel. This one just looks like, Michael Bay might be showing up to blow up some cars and stuff.
It feels like Bumblebee is going to come down Broadway just blasting in this one. You know what, man? Like, we get so many horror films in the backwoods, the country, the countryside, right? The Midwest or whatever, right? Even like Halloween, it takes place in a small town, right? The Friday the 13th movies are out there in the woods and stuff, right? It very rarely, even the Scream movies are always like, you know, this small town or whatever.
No, it's always fairly dark out.
Very dark. Not many people, You know what I mean? It was just like, there's two movies, Friday the 13th, when he goes to New York, where like he's in New York, Jason's in New York for all of like 10 minutes. And then the most recent Scream movie, those both take place in New York. And I appreciated both of those films because there's more people around. It was scarier. Like, this scary person or scary thing is in the city. Movies don't do that enough in this genre. So taking this premise and being like, one, day one, and then two, in the middle of New York City where there's millions of people who's just trying to get by. So
yeah, heading to work.
I'm in the my man is just trying to get on the bus, man. Just trying to make it to Popeyes on time so I don't get fired, man. So
the spaceship comes through, blow that thing to pieces.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm definitely pulling up for this one in the theaters, man. I do like this franchise. It's a different, it's a sci-fi movie, but it's a sci-fi horror film that is different in the vein of Alien. You know, anything new, fresh, I'll definitely pull up to. I like that they're putting a different twist on this by dropping it in New York. Really excited for that. All right, team. We have A Quiet Place Day One coming at you here. Are you a fan of this franchise? Let us know in the comments, guys. We'll throw this on our socials. All right, man. X-Men 97. Episode 8.
Yes, sir.
Tolerance is Extinction, Part 1. I honestly didn't think this episode was going to be this fire. I just didn't. I did not know we were going to have this much action going on in this episode, which was like 33 minutes.
Crammed a lot in there.
We know who the baddie is. Overarching, Bastion. We know like what he's about, who he is, how he came to be. I love that. We love how Jubilee found out that her new boyfriend's family is an asshole. Enjoyed that.
Also that everybody can fly but her.
Everybody can fly but her. That was hilarious. That was hilarious. I really enjoyed that. And then we got Wolverine. And Wolverine finally was able to use them claws, man.
Oh, yeah. He let it all out.
Like, him and Morph and Nightcrawler in the mansion trying to protect Rogue, who is still passed out. Mm-hmm. Ah, dude, give me more of that, dog. Give me some of that action.
Yeah, they went all out, man. It was pretty cool with Nightcrawler, you know, him kind of being able to show off a little bit, finally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's been kind of in and out of the episodes, but just throwing down with those swords, too, man. That was pretty cool to see.
You know, the fact that he is the religious person and the X-Men mythos, and he's more of a pacifist and only will resort to violence if need be. Obviously these new age sentinels push my man. You know what I mean? Like they pushed him. So man got swords on a couple swords in his hand, one with on his tail. He's ready to rock and roll, man. There's a lot going on in this episode. The biggest thing is like that X mansion just absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, it's not the first time this happened, I'm sure.
But it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it really is. Every time. Oh, and then just the team ups all together, man. Every time they do that, it's just something fun to see that we haven't got. you know, this was a fun one with Wolverine and Nightcrawler.
Yeah, man. Then we also have like the Summers Clan.
Yeah.
Rolling through, kind of doing their thing.
Dope.
Going awesome. To figure out like who Bastion is, how he came to be and stuff. And then having to get out of that trouble. Yeah, this one, man, was just, I'm ready. I am ready for the conclusion of this series, bro. Just drop them all at the same time, man. I almost feel like I am a kid again.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday morning, you know, you're like, yo, X-Men and Spider-Man always left you with a cliffhanger. And you like, damn, man, 7 days, Mom?
And that cliffhanger was like 4 episodes long.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The payoff was so sweet, man. That's how I feel, man. Like, I got to wait because the way that this ended, you know, crash land. How you land right in the mansion, bro? That's your crib, Xavier. Like, right? Like, it's just no disregard for your parents' spot. You know what I mean? Like, I guess if Bruce Wayne can do it in Batman Begins, I can do it as well. Like, I got all the money. Whatever. I'll just rebuild it. Yeah.
I didn't even cross my mind.
Just right in the foyer, man. You know what I mean? Yep. So, but then, like, you know, he opens it up and it's like, to me, my X-Men, and you got all the faces of everybody coming through that he's like telepathically speaking to, including Storm. Squad goals, man. Squad goals.
Bringing them back together.
And you know what I think, man? Well, also Magneto, kind of butt naked the entire episode.
You know,
he's basically naked.
You got to show it off, right?
I mean, man, 60, 70 years old, he's looking good. Okay,
he definitely gets his pump in. That's all I'm saying.
You know, he don't miss leg day. You know, but I like how he was able to kind of like squash everything when he got loose, but like. And everybody, like, at first, I'm just like, oh, yeah, dope, we're good. All right, Magneto saved the day. And they're like, no, Magneto started a war. And I'm like, I don't really understand that, but I hope the dynamic now, because Charles is back, is, hey, Charles is like, we got to do it this way. And Magneto was like, nah, fam, we tried to do it your way for 7 episodes, and this is what your way got us. So we're doing it my way now. I hope that Malcolm X, Martin Luther King dichotomy between these two happens moving forward. And it's like a fight between those two ideologies. And I hope, like, who else is going to be coming through?
Yeah. Yeah. We had Cap show up one episode. Now we got Xavier back. So, you know, you saw a little Spider-Man action.
A little Doctor Doom.
A little Doctor Doom. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
A lot going on, bro. This is fun, man.
Pretty exciting.
This is the best of times. I think this, man, I hope this is my theory. And, you know, I've been pretty good with Marvel theories, okay? I'm like 2 for 2.
Yeah, you have missed one of the two yet. So
exactly.
I'm shooting 100.
I'm shooting 100% from the field, baby, okay? I wonder if, like, Storm losing her powers was on purpose by Bastion because he fears her. And I wonder, like, if he sees her pull up, that puts some fear in him. I wonder, because he's been that, like you said last week, he's been that puppet master, right? So things are that are happening that doesn't really make sense. And is he kind of controlling all the strings all the way back there from episode 1? That's the question, right? And if that was the case, I hope she comes through and just whoops his ass, man. Right?
I mean, she's suited up, ready to go. So I'm excited.
So, guys, X-Men 97, Episode 8, Tolerance is Extinction, Part 1. Let us know your thoughts in the comments, guys. We're going to post this on our socials. You still rocking with the show? What has been your favorite scene so far? And my question is, how Scott get all these damn Porsches, man, and blows them all up, man? How Scott got his unlimited Porsches?
Just smooth, just every one of them. And you know they're not just, I mean, it's a Porsche, and then it's like a modified Porsche on top of that. So
Exactly.
Man just got deep pockets, I guess.
Where you get your checks from, man? You're a school teacher, bro. All right, man, you ready to jump into this week's movie?
Yeah, man, sounds good.
All right, team, we have The Fall Guy. Fall Guy just drops May 3rd, 2024. This movie is directed by David Leitch and written by Drew Pierce.
We have a budget of $150 million, and so far, gross in the box office, $65.4
million. Let's go.
Starring, we have Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers, Emily Blunt as Jody Moreno, Aaron Taylor Johnson as Tom Ryder, Winston Duke as Dan Tucker, Hannah Waddingham as Gail Meyer, Teresa Palmer as Iggy Starr, and Stephanie Hsu as Alma Milan.
Yes, sir. Such a great cast in this movie, man. Go ahead and give us that quick synopsis.
Colt Seavers is in love and also framed for murder. I don't know if they're related or not. I'm not going to say nothing. But through some very physical events, he's got to go through in order to clear his name and also win over the girl.
Oh my God, that's good, man. Oh, that's probably top five synopsis of all time, right there, man. That one might win us a Webby right there, bro. There you go. So, all right, man, let's go ahead and jump in right into this one. We got Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers, man. And we get – I love the monologue. For one, I really do enjoy that. And I actually don't remember. I remember in the beginning, I don't remember if it carried throughout the entire movie, the monologue, when that was just the beginning.
I mean, he kind of talked here and there, not really like in the middle, but like it picked back up towards the end.
You're right. It did. Yeah. But that whole middle section, it was gone, but I enjoyed that. Right. Because what he is a seasoned action stuntman. And this puts us right into the mindset of a culture, a team, people that we really don't have a lot of information on, right? We have a lot of information on directors, producers, writers, actors, actresses, right?
Yeah.
Editors and stuff like that. But actually, like the stuntmen and women who do all the crazy stuff, go through glasses, mm-hmm. do barrel rolls and cars and stuff like that. We don't get that information. So the beat in his head in the beginning is really exciting. I was just like, okay. As soon as he started his monologue, I was like, okay, I understand. He's going to guide us through this whole story, and I appreciate it. Yeah. That.
Well, it was a good, a quick way to bring us up the speed of everything that was going on, and it was right on point, right? It wasn't too much or too little. It walked us right into the moment. But yeah, he is a stuntman, but like also... like his fighting skills were also extraordinary in this movie.
Yeah.
The fighting, just like, I mean, really just his investigational skills as well. Like the whole thing was, so he was like just a master at all of it.
So the investigating skills one, I kind of thought about that, right? Like, so I agree with you. He was a great stunt man. He was a great, like, fight choreographer. It looks like he's done that from time to time for Tom Ryder and probably some other people as well. So he kind of understands movement. So when he sees a fist or a knife or a sword come at him from one direction, he knows kind of what to do in the moment, right? He's been doing it like clockwork. And it's almost like the scene in the shit. Why the hell did it just escape me? Uh-oh. Anyway, the movie where he pops the pill and kind of has all the smarts. Forgot the name of it. Give me a second. What the hell am I thinking of? The guy from The Hangover. I am missing. Team, help me out. Who am I thinking of? His name is Bradley Cooper. And the movie, wow, Bradley Cooper looks amazing in that picture. And the movie is, it's not Smartless. That's the podcast. What am I doing here?
Yeah, I'm not following right now.
You're not like, following me at all, dude?
Not at all.
Not even a single Limitless. Limitless. Did you catch that movie?
I don't think so.
Highly recommend. Anyway, in Limitless, he takes his pill and he's like, he just understands from watching a Bruce Lee movie how to fight.
Okay.
So like Ryan Gosling from just doing Ryan Gosling's character, Colt Seavers, from doing all this fight action, it's like clockwork where something happens, he knows how to evade or move or punch or kick there. So I don't think that he was like a great fighter or anything. He just knew the moves that he needs.
I mean, that's made him a great fighter. I don't know.
He got by.
I mean, he went like four on one or three on one or something like that in the club.
Well,
while he was tripping balls and stuff. Which the unicorn thing was fantastic.
Oh my god, that was awesome, man. That was just a great addition there. But no, Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers, man, funny, charming, the hero type, hides behind his stunt persona, and we kind of get that at the beginning, and we find out later why he's hiding behind this stuntman persona, especially in front of the woman that he loves, and why he's doing this. But just a great front man for this movie, man. It kind of showed all that stunt culture, and you know, he put in his mouth guard when he needed to do that. And so he just like, you just have this on you, bro. Like, you knew you were gonna need this or something.
So, you never know.
It was, he had it on him after he changed clothes too, so remember that.
he's like keys, wallet, cell phone, mouthpiece.
You just never know when you got to go to a plate glass or get ran over by a car or something. All right, we have Emily Blunt as Judy Moreno, Colt's ex-girlfriend and first-time director. Talk to me, man.
Oh, yeah, Emily Blunt. Her as well, like, leading us through the movie, and you know, she's writing this movie that, you know, is loosely, quote unquote, seems like it's based on their relationship. You know, just saying. She may say that in the movie as well, but that's the point. So she's first time director, Colt Seavers' ex girlfriend, and they've been apart for, what was it, like the over a year, that 18 months or whatever.
Yeah.
After his accident, and he just never talked to her again. So just up and disappeared. So now she's a director, and she's not a big fan of his. You know, it's understandable. but this character in the movie, she's the same thing. She's very, even though she's like the director, she obviously can fight as well. Very smart.
Throws hands.
And just keeps the whole thing together, like the movie and Colt's situation. Like, she's literally directing everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And Emily Blunt, man, she does a fantastic job.
Strong, brave, courageous, ambitious, and, you know, wants this movie to be great. And like you said, man, like, even though she's mad at him, you find out very early on in one of their first interactions that there's still something there. She still has feelings for Colt, man. And I appreciate that. Like, you know, a lot of the times in situations like this, like, anyone but you, they were really cold to each other for a very long time. right? And that's real. Don't get me wrong. I love that movie. That was real. But, like, really? You guys had this connection, and now it's at zero? Really?
Right.
That, you know what I mean? This one was like, we had this connection, and you're gone, out of my life for 18 months. No call, no show, whatever. But, yeah. Like, at the end of the day, like, I still have feelings for you. I have to move on. I'm a director now. I got to do this. But, like, shit, Colt's in my life now. Colt's back in my life, and he's here right in front of me in Australia. I have to do something. So she tries to, like, set the stage and be like, hey, this is all business, bro. But it's Ryan Gosling, man. It's definitely all business when he smiles at you. You know what I mean?
I forgave him. Soon as he came on screen.
Yeah. Let's go. All right, man. We got Winston Duke as Dan Tucker, Colt's best friend and stunt coordinator here. I like Duke, man. He's Colt's buddy along for the ride with the mystery of what is happening. And he's just a great addition to this cast because he is the person who is in charge of Colt while he's on set.
Yeah.
He's the stunt coordinator. Like, he makes sure all the fire, pyro, flips, rolls, plate glass, everything is done correctly. So he has a very important job, probably has a lot of insurance on him as well. in the event some shit does happen, and stuff happens. Yeah. But it was really cool having, like, a Batman and Robin type of thing with Colt and Tucker, man. I did really do appreciate that. And even Tucker got to play at the end with getting everybody on set to kind of help throw the bad guys at the end, man. So just a fun time there.
Yeah, it was a great addition. And seeing them throw hands.
Hey, big boy.
I mean, this whole movie was just fighting and explosions. And a love story in there in between.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good time. Yeah, good time.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, Tom Ryder, a famous action film star. I do love Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's probably gonna be the next Bond is what it sounds like. But in this movie, he is that prototypical Hollywood A-list asshole. And I said asshole in all caps. Don't get me wrong.
Is that your notes?
I loved every moment of him on screen, right? Because we expect rich Hollywood assholes to be just like this. It was like, pick anybody. You know what I mean? He's obviously one way in front of the camera, one way in interviews and stuff, but in real life, he's just an asshole. And that's Taylor. And he has, like, weird kinks to, like, all the notes in his apartment. What is that about? You can't remember a thing, bro? Oh, that was just awesome. Yeah. That was just awesome so character many. Building, man. Oh, man. We have Hannah Waddingham as Gail Meyer, the producer of Jody's movie. She's the producer type who would do absolutely anything for her client. Likeable and hateable at the same exact time, right? It was just like... You're that gung-ho on-set producer getting things done, but, like, you're kind of a... You're very easily hateable because you are such, like... Somebody who's just trying to make Ryder look good and do everything that he wants to do. Everything is just like, let's look at the greater good for the movie. And no, her singular focus is on him. Yeah, that's her thing. That's what made her rich, right? That's what put her in a position that she's in right now. And, you know, a lot of producers have been like that. A lot of producers are one-trick ponies in regards to who they work with and how they work with them. And that's their sole focus of the movie is this person. I get it. It's just, even though you're likable, you're very easily hateable. And it just was like being on a movie set, watching a movie of them filming a movie and got to see all these different characters that we really don't ever get to see. in movies like this, because like the plot has been done before, movie inside of a movie. It's just that we have not seen it from this angle, and seeing her like that, man, was very interesting. She may also not be as likable as you guys think towards the end. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Probably needs to lay low for a little while.
her kill a guy with a trident.
Yeah.
Right, man. Let's move over here to sets and music here. So the main set is the movie set, you know, like on that beach in Australia and all these gorgeous scenes. Even like the Australian Opera House is in the background for one scene there. But it's a movie inside of a movie being made. Once again, we've seen this before, but the really cool thing is the perspective of the stunt team and the things that they go through. I have never seen a movie, if I have, I don't remember it, of all the ins and outs of a stunt being set up and knocked down as what we saw in this, right? And we saw the first one with the skyscraper drop that got him hurt. The second one where he does the car barrel roll, and then the the one that he did a million times with being lit on fire and then kind of kicked back or whatever. Like, I think about the movie as a whole, and I look back, and that's kind of in the beginning of the movie. As great as this, for me at least, as like as great of scenes that we got, the movie itself was that. You just take that one scene where they keep talking about the movie and keep replying, and she keeps lighting his ass on fire and kicking him. That's the core of the movie right there. And once you once like I understood that, I'm like, all right, I appreciate these two lead characters. I can follow them into this battle. I can follow them through this movie now if we keep that same type of energy. And they did. I appreciated that.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about like the sets. I mean, you're on a super weird movie set inside the movie. With aliens and, you know, like futuristic cars and things like that.
Yep.
The whole thing, like, they're talking about how this movie is going to be the next big movie, or it's going to be this gigantic thing. And you're watching it and you're like, this is, I don't understand how this movie is going to be something like that. 'Cause it's just all so weird, like the different pieces you see them make. Good times.
So in regards to the other look and feel, man, is they're on that beach a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They're on that beach a hell of a lot. And that's like mainly where everything kind of goes down, because it's a post-apocalyptic, so... Yes, one, you're going to shoot in Australia, like all the Mad Max films. And then two, you do get this vibe of wanting to understand this movie, what they're making, right? You have the Fall Guy, but you have the movie within the movie. I really would love to see, like, the final cut of this movie, right? Yeah. And see, like, all right, was it really cool? Was it not or whatever? You know the vibe of the movie? The vibe of the movie was Galaxy Quest. The movie inside the movie?
Yeah, I gotcha.
That was like, are you guys making a Galaxy Quest? Because that's what I'm getting at here. That's kind of what I keep seeing in this. But no, definitely fun, man. A quick note on the music. It was fun and worked within the movie. So I did enjoy that. For the movie that they were filming, did you get this vibe? Did you get like a knockoff of Dune?
I mean, they were just kind of
copying Dune fighting part one.
They're just fighting in the sand. I mean, they did have aliens. I mean, it all kind of You know, not saying they were doing any kind of plagiarizing. I'm just saying, you know, very close.
Like, like super close. I didn't really put to, because I just thought it was like, all right, post-apocalyptic, whatever, sand movie. All right. Yeah. Dune just did it very well, whatever. But we've seen a lot of these type of movies in post-apocalyptic and they need sand. But then, like, the music inside the movie was very close to Dune. I was like, yep, that's exactly what they're doing. Nah. They're doing Dune right now. They're just not doing it well.
Yeah, yeah.
But just enjoyable, you know what I mean? So,
right.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. I do have a theme here.
All right.
Colt Seavers kind of comes back into Judy's life and doing anything and everything to get her back. Every guy has been there. Every guy has or is in love and is willing to do it all, anything, even get hit by a car. Mm.
Set on fire.
Set on fire multiple times. Go on this crazy PI investigation for where the hell Tom Ryder is. He's not qualified to do... and I love it. He's just like, why don't you just go to the police? She goes, no police. He's just like, okay.
Like, yeah, what? Yeah. Okay, I'll take care of it. Yeah.
But jeez. Like, he knows in the back of his head that one, like, Waddingham's character, Gail, is using him. She knows that he still loves Judy and will do absolutely anything for her. So kind of using that, because he does not want her movie to fail either. Right? So, correct. And then their relationship itself, right? It was, they talked about it when he was set ablaze many times. Like, it was hot and heavy, and then it kind of just really ended really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And both part, like, you know, he went away, and we've realized later why he went away. But for her, right, it was just like, this part of her life is over, and how do I move on? And people, like, pick up the pieces and do move forward, but it's that process of doing that is kind of what this movie is about. And then that crap, he's here, he's back in my life, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah. How do I deal with that, man? So a couple of cool themes in this movie that I really enjoyed. All right, team. That is our conversation about 2024's David Leitch's new movie, The Fall Guy. JV, what? Give us thoughts and ratings here, brother.
Yeah, I am giving this one 3 buckets of popcorn this week.
Nice, okay.
Pretty good time. You know, seeing Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt on the same screen, and both of them having a good bit of screen time amongst each other, like together and separate. You know, we didn't really, I don't feel like anyone really overshadowed the other one, even though it kind of should have, but like Emily's scenes were so good that she didn't need to be like there every single minute. She just did a great job in her scenes. But it was a good laugh, a lot of good action, surprisingly fun fight scenes in the club and like at the apartment or the condo or whatever. Mm-hmm. Was pretty intense. So yeah, 3 buckets of popcorn. I enjoyed it. Deserves a couple watches, and whenever it hits streaming, I'm gonna watch it some more. It was a good time.
Yeah, man. So this is a movie that I was definitely looking forward to, man. Ryan Gosling as Colt Seavers is hilarious and heartfelt. Emily Blunt is radiant, tough as nails when she needs to be. Oh, yeah. And Aaron Taylor Johnson is the definition of that Hollywood A-list prick. Like, everything that I was expecting, they did, and they delivered it very well. The action was jam-packed, and the movie flowed exactly what I would love. And then we have stunt culture. I don't know if that's like the phrase that they use or the stunt teams, or whatever. Mm-hmm. but that's at the forefront of the movie. I've always had an appreciation for stunt men and women, but I have a more of appreciation now. He left that. He got hurt in the first one, right? In the first time, but then like that barrel roll, the team was like, "Yo, let's." He's not getting out. Like, what's going on here? Like, I just have a more appreciation for these people who make all this stuff look awesome on screen and like real effects as well, not just green screen. We'll flip it in post or whatever. Like Gail was wanting him to do at the end of the movie. Like that, it just was really cool to see, man. The stunt guys are the group who do the hard stuff and really enjoy that aspect of the movie, man. This flick delivered exactly what I need in a summer opener to the summer blockbuster season. For me, man, this is a perfect movie. This is $5 popcorn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, one for me, man, is just, this has so much rewatchability. And there's things in here that I will watch it again and pick up on things that I didn't get the last time. I just know it, man. So really excited for a second and third watch on this, man.
Good deal.
Yeah. $5 popcorn. Thank you for subscribing to this week's episode, Talking Through the Fall Guy. Next week, we'll be discussing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
You can catch that at your local theater.
Like always, I am Clyde Smith. You can find me across all socials. I am Clyde D. Smith.
I am Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at Mr. J8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Like always, thumbs up.